Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Supertalk 99.7.
12:06 on Supertalk 99.7 WTN. Good afternoon to you. Lots going on today. What was Kim Jong-un doing in China? Was he even in China? Going to check in with our friends at the Heritage Foundation for that at about 12:35 or so. We do have lots going on within the world of Russia. Going to talk about that. And let's talk one more time about President Obama's former lax discipline policies that have made schools more dangerous. The New York Post has really come out with this massive article. I would say massive article. They've gone around and they've started speaking to a whole bunch of teachers, one of whom got the living crap beat out of him by one of these students. That kid did not even get suspended thanks to former President Obama's lax discipline policies. And the point of that being that we all know that Nicholas Cruz, the guy that shot at the school in Parkland, Florida, he is one of those kids that should have been suspended or expelled from school, but was not. So those stories and a whole lot more straight ahead on WTN. Now, you may have noticed that Ken Weaver was doing the news at the top of the hour. No Pamela Furr. I believe, Pamela.
I am, yes, it's true.
So you're late today. You apparently caught up in all that traffic on westbound 40 at Fessler's Lane.
Yeah, okay, so there's an accident. And apparently I didn't listen close enough to our traffic report to know to avoid the area. And I preach that to you guys all the time. So here I am. I'm driving along, and I'm finally everything comes to a dramatic halt. And, of course, I'm cussing, and I'm sending messages. I'm stuck. Traffic's not moving, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
All right, but here's what two things that just really boggle my mind. Well, first of all, you've got four lanes at a complete stop. You have suddenly these cars that decide to get on the emergency lane and start backing up. So they're backing up at least a mile to get to 24 so they can maybe avoid the area that way. Then you see an ambulance coming up the emergency lane, and then they can't get past these cars who are going in reverse trying to get off that part of the interstate and try to take another route. Yeah. So then you've got a little problem right there. And I think those you-know-whats should get arrested on the spot if police could even get there.
Right.
But you can't even get there. That's what those emergency lanes are for. They're not for you to back up to avoid being in traffic for a freaking hour. But anyway.
So is that how long you were in traffic? You were in traffic for an hour.
When did I text you? It was probably close to an hour.
Right.
Maybe. Something like that. But it was right there at Fessler's. And I got stuck in it as the 24 split goes. What are you laughing at?
I'm looking at the text messages that you've sent me, and the last one you sent me was, I have to pee. Can you just, no matter what's going on, can we set a policy right now? You don't need to tell me when you have to urinate. It's not something I need to know.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a little bit more dramatic when you're stuck in traffic. I mean, not just going slow, you're not moving at all. So we're at a dead standstill. So that's when I'm texting all my friends, texting you, Ken. I think I sent one to Michael. I'm checking my Facebook, and I have one of those little phone racks that you put into your vent so that it's up there, you know. And so I'm just checking mess. We're at a standstill. Mm-hmm. The next thing I know, this woman behind me just starts laying on her horn. And I'm thinking,
you know, what good does that do?
Well, first of all, we're not moving, so I'm not really sure why she's laying on her horn. So I wave at her. No fingers, no, you know, just my whole hand, just waving at her like, hello. And then the next thing I know, she gets out of her car. She walks around to the driver's side of my car and starts beating on my window. And I'm thinking, what? And I just look at her. I don't even say anything. I just look at her like, are you crazy? And she said, you're part of the problem. And I go, excuse me. She said, get off your phone. Stop texting and driving. And I go, we're not driving right now. And I did it real slow, thinking she's mentally deranged. And obviously she is. So she's still beating on my window. Stop talking on your phone. So I grabbed my phone, hoping to catch this on Facebook Live.
Oh, that would be funny.
And I came real close. And then she saw what I was doing. So she backed up and then went back into her car. And about that time, some guys actually started getting out of their cars. I don't know whether to be my hero or what, but I couldn't figure. I mean, we weren't moving. Yeah, why is she so mad?
If you're not moving, well, she's mad because she's been stuck on the freeway or the highway just like you have been.
Yeah, but I'm not like angry. I'm just checking emails going, Lord. I mean, I was, yeah, I mean, there was a few curse words, but only because I was going to be late for work.
Right. And you had to pee.
And I really had to pee.
But you chose. Did you tell anybody else you had to pee, or was that just my own personal information?
No, I told everybody.
Oh, you did? Okay, good.
Yeah. I mean, you're not that special.
No.
But anyway.
I'm really glad to hear that, actually.
What on earth could cause somebody to be that angry at somebody that had nothing to do with this wreck?
Well, and the funny thing is, can I ask how old this woman was?
She had to be 50. Late 50s.
Okay.
You know, and she looked, this is awful.
You'd
say. If she's listening,
this would be funny.
But she looked road hard, as they used to say, and put up wet. You know, she looks like she was very much a chain smoker kind of thing. You know, that look. I can't
explain. The lines around. People know what you're talking about.
She kind of looked like that, you know, and I didn't roll down my window, so I couldn't smell if she was a smoker
or
not.
But, you know, more than likely she did smell like, you know, alcohol and cigarettes.
I don't know about the alcohol, but she was just a very angry woman. And I'm just looking at her like, you're crazy. So I'm and the thought was in my mind, do I catch this on Facebook Live or do I call 911? But I can't call 911 because they can't get there because of traffic.
Yeah.
It's at a standstill. So anyway,
maybe she just felt like she had to take it out on somebody and you just happened to be there.
But
the thing is, believe it or not, I've actually had that happen to me too. Where I've been stuck in traffic, just like you were, and I'll be on my phone. And I've had people scream at me or what have you that I shouldn't be on my phone. And I think we talked about this about 3 years ago.
I don't remember.
Now that I remember this. And my thought process was the same thing. Listen, if I was going even 5 miles an hour, I wouldn't be on my phone texting. I wouldn't be on my phone emailing, whatever it is. But we're just sitting here, not even moving. My hands aren't even on the steering wheel. So what's it to you, you nut job?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing. What's it to you?
And
it'd be different if I was swerving all over the road and you know, I'm going 20 miles an hour while everybody else is going 75. But we weren't moving.
Have you ever seen that, by the way? Have you ever seen? I have seen this before, where if you're driving behind somebody and you can totally see. This was one night. I'm driving home, and it's dark, and the person in front of me is driving probably 40, 50 mile an hour, and you can see in their car that they are texting and
they're
driving.
Or they're doing something on their phone. Yeah.
And you can see
the screen that the lights change.
And
that's how you
can
know they're
see
doing
them
something.
Swerving into oncoming traffic.
Yeah.
And you think, for the love of God, I'm definitely one of those, you know, live and let live kind of people, but I wanted to be that person that was like, you know, you need to pull your ass over to the side of the road before you kill somebody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And had this person ended up veering, you know, because I followed this person for about a mile and a half. I contemplated taking down their license plate number and calling the police. But I was thinking, you know, this person, if I watch that person veer off to the other side of the road and swerve into oncoming traffic, literally watching them as they are distracted driving, then I would carry that around with me for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm assuming that that person would be killed and innocent people might even be killed as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do? Do you lay on the horn and get their attention and say, you need to focus on driving? Because I'm not necessarily one of those people that's always looking for conflict and that kind of thing. But this was one of those moments where I really wanted to. But this person was actually moving, as opposed to you, which, you were just sitting there on the interstate.
I could see people in my rear view mirror getting out of their cars, lighting up a cigarette.
Sure.
You know, just going, well.
What else do you do?
I was going to walk around a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't an overturned tractor trailer.
What was it, by the way?
It was an accident with several vehicles, including a tractor trailer that was carrying fuel. And I guess in the wreck, it had spilled some of the fuel. So they had to, I don't know what it is that they put on it. I don't know if it's sand or I don't know what they put on it on the interstate, but they were out doing that. So they had to close the entire interstate to do that, to sop up the fuel, I guess would be right way to say it. But I mean,
I think
it was just annoying.
I think they put some sort of a
kitty litter kind of thing.
I think so.
But I mean, you know, you had your hazmat people there that were taking care of that. I don't know if anybody was injured. They did have an ambulance, but I think an ambulance is always called in those kinds of situations.
So how long were you at a dead standstill?
Oh, I don't know, 30 minutes.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right. And, you know, women, just to, for whatever reason, I'm obsessed over this having to pee thing. So there really is nothing that you can do as a female, because we all know that guys can go anywhere. You know, you got a spare, you know, Starbucks cup or something. You can go in that. Women, I don't think you can do that, can you?
Well, I mean, I guess I could get up on my knees,
yeah,
you know, and then drop trowel right there and do it. But
listen, a woman's got to do it. A woman's got to do it.
I mean,
it's either that or pass out, right?
Well, no. I mean, you can continue to hold it. It might be painful. But I mean, I guess if I really, 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 really had to go, I could have gotten out of the car and walked over by the bridge and, you know, and gone by. It's still, somebody would have seen it. I mean, regardless,
there's
really no place.
Right.
I'm right there. There really isn't.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you have to go, you have to go. I don't know. there is a thing you can buy. Have you seen the ads for this where women can go and it's almost like a funnel cup?
No.
Kind of thing. I'll have to send it to you.
Well, describe it. So it's
like a funnel cup
and
where a woman can pee in it, but it'll shoot out as if it were a guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you've got to send me that.
Okay.
Actually, what you should do is post it on your Facebook page now that
I've spoken about it.
Now that you've spoken about it, maybe you can start doing endorsements.
You know, I mean.
I am Pamela Fur for the pee funnel.
With the the fur funnel.
There you go.
That's just awful.
The fur funnel.
But anyway, so the moral to the story is, gosh, y'all, relax.
Chill out.
I mean, if you're at a standstill, what can you do? There's nothing you can do. You just have to sit there and wait it out. I know you might be late, but it's Nashville. It's traffic. This is what I was telling Ken. You know, back in the day, you could run late or you could, you know, deliberately stay in bed an hour and then you could call, oh, yeah, I'm stuck in traffic. I'll be there as soon as I can. Back in the day, you could do that and you had no choice but to believe that person.
Now
you can go, yeah. Oh, really? Where is it? Let me find it on the map.
Yeah, let me find it on the Waze app or whatever it is. And then you can look and see,
you know, what the problem is and where it was. And in fact, Kim was like, he goes, yeah, it's right there at Festivals Lane. It's blah, 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 blah. I'm going, dadgummit, I wish I'd have known that beforehand because I could have taken a back way in.
Right.
But anyway, so you can't lie about that kind of stuff. Or you can't, oh, my power was out this morning, which mine was, by the way. But there were about 7,000 people without power
this
morning.
Well, you've had a hell of a day, haven't you?
Yeah, it did not start off well.
You woke up,
so I'm going to be looking forward to
off and...
I'm looking forward to wings and rings and other things this evening.
Wings, rings.
At Cool Springs.
Margaritas, alcohol, whatever it is.
Oh, yes. Somebody's going to have to, after my day today... Somebody's going to have to buy me something.
You know, you're going to have to Uber home. We're going to have to Uber you home. Is that what we're going to have
to
do?
You may have to.
Okay.
After my day. And I'm looking at the map. It looks like traffic is still stupidly backed up because of that wreck. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Wait. Not only on 40, but also at the 24 split, it's backed up there, too. So it's crazy. So if you are in that traffic, deep breaths. Mm-hmm. Please don't wail on your horn. There's nothing anybody can do.
That's so stupid when people do that.
Beat somebody.
See, I would never do that. I would never get out of the car and start beating on somebody's window because, let's face it, you know, people in this state tend to carry guns.
Well, see, that's what I kept thinking. Lady, I mean, what if I had a gun?
Yeah.
You know, and would I be justified in pulling out my gun saying, get away from my car?
Right.
You know, would that be considered self-defense? Mm-hmm. I would say yes because... She is posing some sort of threat. I don't know what she has. You know,
That's exactly right.
But, I mean, I don't know. It was a little too much, lady. You need some Xanax.
Well, listen, if that lady happens
Xanax
to be...
Xanax with your coffee in the morning.
You know, if she happens to be listening right now, Pamela Fur and the rest of us from WTN, at least most of us, will be at Wings and Rings. Come on out and say hi to Pamela. Maybe
or
she can
apologize.
Buy you a drink. Or maybe you can buy her a drink, because apparently she needs one.
It's just, I don't understand it, man.
Yes.
Just relax.
Now, do you know a lot of folks that are coming tonight to the big shindig at Wings and Rings in Cool Springs?
I know a couple of people who are coming.
Yeah.
What about you?
It's tonight. I know several people that have reached out and said they're gonna show up. So it's going to be me, you, Brian, Phil.
Michael.
Also, Johnny B, I think, is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to make arrangements so that Doogie can get off, so that Doogie can show up as well. We got Belle showing up.
Wait a minute.
What?
you're making arrangements for him to take off? Then why aren't you making arrangements for me to take off? You know, I work in the afternoon. I'm going to be late.
Oh, it's awkward. It's awkward.
It is. I mean,
I'm going to be late.
You know what? When you hear me kind of shuffling and stacking my papers, that means I've reached an oh crap moment.
I mean,
where
he can do the same thing that I'm doing and be late.
No, that's actually not true. Doogie doesn't get off till 6:45.
Uh-huh.
That's when his last report is. Now, you and I both know. Don't make me say it. Don't make me say that you can tape on your newscast that you can get
down
there.
He can too.
No, not a traffic report.
I'm pre-recording mine.
Oh, just stop. Just way too many secrets now. You've got like diarrhea of the mouth.
You haven't been recording your traffic reports in advance, have you?
Yeah,
no.
Boy.
No.
Are you sure?
But I mean, I was going to try to get away with it today. I mean, I wasn't going to be there until probably 6:30 or 6:45.
Okay, so for the record, as somebody such as myself who spent many years in Los Angeles as a traffic reporter.
You can't really do those.
Let me
advance.
Tell you something. The second you decide from a moral and ethical standpoint it's okay to record a traffic report, an overturned semi at Fessler's Lane is going to shut all the lanes down, the entire highway down.
Yeah, then you sound,
and then you're screwed.
Yeah. Oh, I know. That's why I don't do it.
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out a way to get somebody to do traffic for Doogie so that
he
can show up as well. Mm. And so you and everybody else can show. Who the hell calls me? Every damn day. I'm on the air every day, noon to three, and my phone rings every stinking day. Noon to three. I'm
get
on
out
the
of
air
it that
every
way.
Day.
You owe me a drink.
I do. Why?
Because you're going to look for somebody to work for Doogie and not for me. You owe me a drink.
You didn't ask me.
You didn't suggest it.
I didn't even think about it.
Exactly.
I didn't even think about it. Anyway, it's going to be a good time tonight. And many of us are going to be there tonight. And it's all of us going to be there and brought to you by Paul Winkler Incorporated. Our buddy Paul is always there to help us out with these kinds of promotional things. And this is kind of a tour, just so people know. Had some complaints, going to be honest with you, but a number of different things. Of course, every day, my day is filled with complaints. It's just nobody ever says, hey.
Mostly
from the staff. And the listeners.
Complain about what?
Oh, don't even get me started. You know what? I had an epic phone call yesterday. A guy called up.
About tonight's event.
Oh, no, not about tonight's event.
Well, that's what you started. You said.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Well, people were complaining about tonight's event, too.
What about it? I'm confused.
Because a lot of our events have been in Williamson County. And so this is, the first of it's going to be like a tour. And we're going to be going to places like Mount Juliet and Murfreesboro and downtown
on. Voice your vote is what that's supposed to be the focus.
Sort of, yeah. I mean, this whole thing was planned quite some time ago. And so for me, yeah, okay, it's voice your vote. That's all good and well. But also it's to come out and meet Brian.
Right.
So now it's sort of like a combination of voice your vote and come out and welcome Brian Wilson to Middle Tennessee.
And if you're not registered to vote,
yes.
we'll have information for you there.
And please don't try and climb Brian Wilson like Michael Del Giorno is going to try and do. Just don't.
He's not going to try to do that.
He's not?
I doubt it.
I told Michael,
I think Brian would kick him in the nads.
I was going to say, that's something that you and Brian need to work out, amongst each other.
I wouldn't do that.
No, I wouldn't.
Brian's really tall.
She is.
Brian would have to lean down to kick him in the nads.
Yes.
when we're I'm going to make a point not to stand next to Brian here's the great thing though. You're going to be there as well. So I'm not going to be the shortest staffer
in the
building. It'll be you.
Yeah.
So,
I'm 5'2".
You're 5'2" and I'm 5'5" and I'm 5'5", thank you. I'm standing on my tippy toes. I'm 5'5". Anyway, moving on.
Well,
whenever
hair,
Dan is giving Brian PD instructions and Brian starts to not listen, he goes, look, I'll bite you in the knee.
No, in their meetings, he makes Brian sit down and Dan stands up.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what I have to do.
And he's still not as tall.
No, okay. Can we be done now? Anyway, so looking forward to folks coming out. I really do enjoy these events, and so we're going to have a number of these throughout the year here on WTN is when we will announce it and where we'll announce it. 12:25 on WTN. 12:38, Super Talk 99.7 WTN, Dan Mandis Show, 615-737-9986. 615-737-WWTN. Want to welcome in Dean Cheng from the Heritage Foundation. Always love talking to you folks. Dean, how are you?
Very good. It's been a busy day.
It has been a busy day. So let's talk about, of course, story one, at least as it relates to China and North Korea, is this supposed apparent possible visit from Kim Jong-un heading to China. Now, you are somebody who watches certainly China in this region. So you tell me, do we have any evidence that shows that Kim Jong-un did indeed visit China on this train?
That's the problem. We have a very circumstantial set of evidence. It is a train similar to the one his father took to China a few years back. But we have yet to hear confirmation from the Chinese, the North Koreans, or anyone else that it was he who was on the train. There are some reports that suggest it might have been his sister, for example.
Okay, so it would be very highly unusual for Kim Jong-un to leave North Korea in this way to China, right? I mean, has he ever done this? Let's just go down this road.
As far as we know, he's never been abroad. So now his father, before the inter-Korean summits, did go to China. It's never been clear what they talked about there. So it makes some sense for him to have gone to China to sort of give the Chinese a heads up about the impending summit he's going to have with the South Koreans and, of course, the possible meeting with President Trump.
Right.
But at the same time, we need to avoid the idea that somehow he was summoned or that he's going hat in hand to Beijing.
Yeah, I can't imagine that would actually be the case because we all know how belligerent Kim Jong-un can be. So let's just say if there was some sort of a meeting, I mean, obviously you say, and I would agree, they're talking about the possible discussion with President Trump. Possibly they're talking about some sort of economic deal, trade, whatever it is, maybe the thawing relations between North and South Korea. So there's a number of things that China and North Korea could be talking about, right?
Absolutely. One of the other things that they might be talking about, and I think that this is very likely given what we've seen of Kim Jong-un's personality, is that Kim Jong-un went to China to basically say, look, I'm going to be meeting with the South Koreans and the Americans. I'm really unhappy with all the sanctions you've imposed on me. So what are you going to do, President Xi, to make me happy rather than, you know, having me cutting a new deal with the Americans and the South Koreans?
Yeah, and that would seem to make a lot of sense because we know that North Korea has really been feeling the screws from China and other nations as well, certainly United States, obviously, because of the sanctions that they've been dealing with. And so is there a way that anyone is going to be able to confirm? And this is all over the news. Is there a way to confirm that this was or was not a meeting between Kim Jong-un and China?
So the train has apparently already left Beijing. So this was apparently a very quick turnaround trip. So if it was Kim Jong-un, we should expect that once the train is safely back in North Korea, probably safely back in Pyongyang, then either the Chinese or the North Koreans or both will then go public with who was there and what was the agenda of the meetings.
All right, so we'll have to see what happens. If this was a meeting that took place, is there any response that would need to be had from the Trump administration? I mean, I guess it depends on what was discussed, right?
Right. So if, for example, the Chinese now come out and say, well, this is wonderful. You're going to be meeting with the North Koreans anyway, so we're going to lift sanctions. That's probably the worst possible outcome.
Right.
Because it takes away one of our key negotiating chips against the North Koreans.
All right, so I guess the big question is, at what point will we find out if this really was Kim Jong-un visiting China? We'll have to wait and see what happens there. There are a lot of other things going on. I know that one of your big nations that you monitor is China. We know that President Trump, he's been having a lot of very difficult, tough conversations with China. Of course, we all know about the sanctions as well. Do you see China is beginning to warm to the idea of more negotiation with President Trump?
I don't know that they're warming to it. I think they're facing the reality that they're going to have to. I think that what we're seeing in terms of their response to the proposed $60 billion worth of tariffs is a signal from Beijing that, look, we don't want to get into a trade war. We're willing to basically do some tit-for-tat responses, but this could all get much worse. So what is it that you, Mr. Trump, really want?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're going to be seeing a lot of back and forth, posturing, signaling going to the idea of where will our trade relationship go in the coming years?
And I guess that's going to be the big question, right? So because everybody always has this debate as to whether or not President Trump has been dealing with Kim Jong-un appropriately with all of the Twitter wars and the tweets going back and forth and all these kinds of things. And so, and I've been one to say that I think that based on what's happening with Kim Jong-un, and we won't really know until long run, but I think that the president has been dealing with Kim Jong-un in the right way based on the fact that now these two may actually sit down and have a discussion. So then the next question is President Trump, based on your analysis, dealing with China the way that he should? Is he doing things that is, as you said, forcing the hand of the Chinese to come back and have a real honest-to-goodness discussions?
What Mr. Trump has done is he's really been unpredictable, which is not a surprise to anyone.
Right.
But as a result, the Chinese can't do all of their usual playbooks. That's what they've done with every previous president. They pretty much have a sense that the American president has a left limit and a right limit, and he's going to operate within a very narrow set of options. Mr. Trump keeps surprising everyone, including the Chinese, by saying, you know what, I'm going to take a phone call as president-elect from the president of Taiwan.
Oh, yeah,
I'm going to say to North Korea, I might go crazy on you. It forces the Chinese to start from scratch in terms of figuring out how to deal with him. That's a strength for us.
Yeah. Now, we have, of course, the headline in The Hill. I think this was today or yesterday. China, along with Russia, has eclipsed the United States in hypersonic missiles. And this, of course, is prompting a whole bunch of fears here in the United States. And this is one of those things that China has been working on for a long time. And so the debate is going on right now, I guess, is we have China, given the fact that the United States over the past 8 years during the Obama administration, I would say not necessarily militarily friendly as far as what we've been able to accomplish. But it looks like China has been boosting what they're trying to do as far as their military goes and hypersonic missiles as well. So you tell me, how big of a deal is this that Russia and China is, according to the headline, eclipsing us in the world of hypersonic missiles?
Hypersonic missiles are an interesting area of weapons development, and it's certainly something to keep an eye out for because they're really designed to get around any kind of missile defense.
They can, by the way, folks know, a hypersonic missile is a missile that can fly more than five times the speed of sound.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that means that it's very, very hard to hit them with interceptors. But to me, what's much more worrisome is that both China and Russia have also said that they want to be world leaders in artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And they want to be world leaders in robotics. You combine all of that, and that's a really scary set of capabilities that I'm not sure we are at the same cutting edge as they are.
And so I guess my question then is, well, then how long will it take for us to catch up to them, whether we're talking about artificial intelligence and all these other things? How long will it take for us to catch up?
Well, we've seen the Trump administration expand the defense budget, and that's probably going to help shorten the span. But at the same time, we have a military where a lot of training has been deferred. A lot of maintenance has been deferred. A lot of that additional money is going to have to go into getting us just back to where we were in, say, 2009.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it takes a long time for, you know, the funding goes through. Then you have to start the research and you have to get the manpower to get all of this going again. And so this is something that is a long-term goal for the United States. But as we try and catch up, you've got Russia and certainly China. They have increased their military spending. And so during a time where in the past 8 years of the Obama administration, we haven't been paying as much attention to the military as we should, you've got the folks in China, and they are boosting their national security spending. So there are a lot of threats, of course. So we have threats domestically, but also and most certainly around the world. And so this was not necessarily a good time for the Obama administration back when to stifle our military spending. It's a good thing now for President Trump to up our military spending substantially. But as you said, Dean, it's going to take us a long time to catch up, especially as everyone else is running full speed. But, Dean, I appreciate the analysis as always. 1250 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. It is the Dan Mandis Show, my friends.
Pamela Furr, two Metro Council members say there's a better place than the fairgrounds for the proposed soccer stadium. And Ambassador Nikki Haley tells Russia they should be ashamed, be very ashamed.
Uh-oh.
These stories and more at 1 o'clock on WTN.
And Steve Glover, by the way, joining us at 105 to talk about those soccer stadium plans. So all of that is coming up here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Man, I never thought I'd agree with Van Jones. Now, everybody knows who Van Jones is these days.
He Hell just froze.
I know. Over. Hell did indeed just freeze over. So Van Jones is now saying that the left is, quote unquote, exhausting itself by claiming every action of Trump's they find distasteful is the worst thing to happen yet. What have we been saying, or I've been saying about the left for, I mean, it's been over a year. And that is that every single day, it's like the sky is falling. When the sky falls every single day, I have said in the past, and I'll say it again, well, then what are you going to do when the sky really is falling? Well, that's essentially what Van Jones is saying. He apparently, now he's gone rogue, because you got a whole bunch of people on the left that are now freaking out over what he said. Basically, he says that too many people think that every single day under Trump is Armageddon. That when somebody comes in who might bring us Armageddon, he says we are out of adjectives, meaning the left. And he's absolutely right. He really is, because one of the things that you'll notice, and we've talked about this before, folks, this is nothing new. I do find it interesting that the left is finally figuring this out, because we know that Van Jones is one of the many people who speak for the left. And so one of the things you can always say, and this is the same thing with the media, is the fact that when every single day you have things that the Trump administration supposedly has done that is worth a 5-panel discussion on CNN, it gets to the point where it's just almost silly. It's like they're caricatures of themselves. It's like they're just running around with their hair on fire. And the left can learn from the pitfalls that the media have found themselves in, which is that the mainstream media, they are so incredibly passionate and quick to find something that the Trump administration or Donald Trump has done wrong, that they end up making mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. And so for the media, and we know this because we've seen this ad nauseum, the media, they've lost a crap ton of credibility. And the reason why they've lost a crap ton of credibility is because they're so anxious to find out and prove that President Trump has done something immoral or illegal or whatever it is. And the people of America just look at this and say, oh, well, you know, it's just the media and their hair's on fire again. Especially when they make so many different mistakes. And I don't need to go down that road of all of the mistakes that the media has made, but I would just invite you to go to Google. And you remember when the president, I can't remember exactly what the phrase was, but he's, oh, the fake news awards. Remember the fake news awards? It had all the media, they were just very worried about being named as part of the president's fake news awards. And you had, what, I think there was 10, 11, maybe 12 stories and media outlets, various media outlets that got caught up in this thing. And the president basically proved his point. Of all of the stories that later proved to be false and they got included on the president's fake news awards list, it was awesome. It was epic. And the reason why it was awesome and epic was because it was true that the media was reporting fake news. And so the same thing is happening to the liberals. Got a lot more straight ahead on WTN.